I listen to The Black Guy Who Tips because Rod and Karen are hot.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. I'm your host, Rod. Joined as always by my co-host,
Karen.
And we are live on a Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Took President's Day off.
Mm-hmm.
Ready to find and give you some podcasting, all right? We're going to figure this thing out as we go along. The official weapon of the show is
phone jail
and the unofficial sport
bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme.
Yes.
Find us everywhere you get podcasts. The official weapon, we already said that, John. Sign up for premium, theblackguywhotips.com/premium. Okay,
buy stuff, buy mugs, t-shirts.
We got a T Public store. The link is in the show notes. There's merch there now. You can get some. We got smug mugs. I got mine in the mail. It's coming on the way. You know, so we just trying to help y'all, help yourselves. I see y'all buying gear too. I get like an email every time somebody buys something, and I get like and I'm like, oh, somebody got some shirts. Oh, somebody got some posters. Somebody got some stickers. We love to see it.
We appreciate that. And for those of you go, I want to see Rod and Karen. I want to represent them. When y'all make the trip to Charlotte, North Carolina, y'all have y'all gear and be ready. When it's the Black Guy Who Tips Day, you have your stuff. You ain't got to wait last minute.
Exactly. All right. Do you have any banter?
Mm-mm, not really.
All right. I'm trying to think if I do. Do I have any banter? You know what? Yeah, I'll give you a little bit. Hold on.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That one's called Bird's Eye View. What have I been up to? Well, you know, the other day I was thinking, it's amazing we have these little computers in our pockets that when I was a teenager, looking for porn in the woods and under my parents' bed and shit like that, if I would have known we would have a computer in our pocket and there would be applications on it where beautiful women wanted to show me their butts and boobs, I wouldn't have never believed it. I wouldn't have if I time travel back,
you'd be like, get out of here. Most
young
people
Roderick, don't worry about it. Okay, it's gonna be I know right now all you can think about is butts and boobs and you never get to see them. But I promise you, one day, young man,
you'll see plenty of them.
You'll see so many boobies, you'll be over it. You'll be like, I saw these boobs already. No need to favorite those.
I need some new boobs.
No thumbs up on that one, ma'am. You're going to have to get another photo shoot before I heart this. Who would have fucking thought? Who would have thought? But that's, sometimes I'll be on Reddit and I'm just like, oh man, Black Titty World. Oh, amazing. Who knew?
It is amazing. It's done came a very long way. As a woman, you go from now you're getting bombarded with dick pics, solicited and unsolicited, but it's plenty of dick pics out there. You know, back in the day, somebody would have to show you their dick in real life, but now
I feel like nothing was more rare than a Playgirl. Like, I feel like a Playboy, if you know, Blacktail. If you know, you could find those in the woods or somebody's daddy leave when someone bring it to school or something. A Playgirl, I know women that's never seen a Playgirl. Like, as adults, they've never seen an actual magazine of Playgirl.
I have. I've seen
every Hustler. Dude seen a Penthouse or Playboy or something.
Hustler, that's
yeah, we're inundated with that shit. But it is interesting, like, yeah, now we got Drake helicoptering on the timeline or whatever the fuck. Like, it's time really, really went by fast on that.
Yes, it did.
I was thinking about this as well. You know, I just be thinking about stuff a lot. It's interesting that we keep having the NBA All-Star game in February.
Mm-hmm.
I think now that Matt McClung, the white dude that isn't even in the NBA, has won 2 dunk contests in a row, we should consider moving it out of February. Okay? It's going to be Mac History Month, and I'm not a fan of that. We either need to move it to March or move it up to January. Put it up against the Pro Bowl. I don't give a fuck if no one watches it. The players don't want to play anyway. I think we just got, I'm not a fan of Mac McClung. I feel like we keep doing this All-Star Weekend going to be on January 6th one year, because this white boy is more creative and all the superstars don't want to be in the dunk contest.
Mm-mm.
And I don't blame them, because people keep saying, well, if it's a superstar in the dunk contest, we'll just give them, we'll love it just because it's them. And I said, yeah,
nope.
I hear what y'all saying. I'm not saying they're wrong. If Zion Williamson and LeBron James and everybody came to the, you're right. People would just be like, well, at least it's them. And we just love that Anthony Edwards decided to be in the dunk contest. The problem is, what if Matt McClung's in there? Matt McClung gonna win. He is better at them than at dunking. And so now we got LeBron James got beat by Matt McClung. We can't have that. We can't. It's not worth it.
Mm-mm.
No star is willing to deal with that bullshit. I think y'all should leave them alone. They didn't do anything wrong for not being in that damn dunk contest. You don't like it? Too bad. The once in a lifetime star come across in about 10, 15 years. Well, actually, probably not even that far. Probably another 5 years. Some nigga will come through and give us that Vince Carter, like, oh my God, this is what the dunk contest is designed for. And then we'll go back to it being boring for like 8 to 10 years between that. That's what always happens.
Yes, that is. That's how it goes around in circles.
Well, yeah. I also was thinking about how someone on Twitter had brought up like HBO, like Taxi Cab Confessions and Real Sex.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, one of those shows, I remember as a kid sneaking up late to turn on the TV and try to watch those shows.
I used to be very mad.
I used to always think I was going to see some boobs or some sex, because it was called Real Sex, but it was real sex in the way that, like, once you become an adult and you know what sex is, real sex. Not,
yes.
It was like, oh, they're not going to have actual real sexual intercourse, unlike the fake sex that happens in movies. That's not what they meant at all. Mm-mm. They meant real sex. We're gonna have
to real people.
We're gonna talk to real people on the streets of New York, and we're gonna have all kinds of weird kinky stories that kind of won't even really be hot. It'll be hot if you're into this. It's like,
yes,
I remember one time watching one, and it was white people dressing up as horses and riding around on each other, and I was like, this is for like 2 people.
Yeah, and that's before I understood. I was young, so I didn't understand what kinks were or any of that thing. So I was like, the fuck is this? I was so confused.
Well, I always understood what kinks were, because everything deviant was considered a kink. You know, oh, you like big butts? That's a kink. Oh, you like big titties? That's a kink. These niggas took it to the next level. Like, I didn't like I thought kinks was like, oh, you into this. They was like, yeah, so we found somebody, these people, they live on a ranch. They put saddles on each other's back.
I remember
and
that.
I said, that's a kink too?
Mm-hmm. It is.
That can't count. Like, y'all stuff got to count as something different. Like, it got to be super kink, you know?
Super duper kink.
Yeah. But the one for me that I've talked about on here before, but I was just thinking, the one for me that really got me was Hookers on the Point.
That was one of my personal favorites.
Because the reason it got me is because I'm thinking it's going to be, oh my God, it's going to be like beautiful prostitutes, like Pretty Woman. And they're going to be having, you know, and it was not
like
that
real
at all.
Sex is like, I am a normal woman.
It wasn't called Real Sex. It's called Hookers on the Point.
No, I understand, but it's like they were normal people. Like, they wouldn't like,
they weren't normal. No, that's the thing. They were not normal at all. It was very abnormal. What was happening? It was nothing glamorous about it. It was nothing sexy. But I just felt dirty afterwards.
You didn't have like a Julie, like that glamour thing you thought of.
Yeah, it wasn't the movies.
Right.
But it was beyond real. It was worse than real sex. It was the best PSA for just, like, honestly, maybe if you really want kids to be abstinent, not that we need that anymore. But if we needed that, bring back hookers on the point, because you be like, oh my God, it's going to be so hot. They gonna talk to this woman that's a prostitute, and then like
real
the
shit.
Story be like, so that was the first time I got syphilis, and but it's okay, I still blew 50 dudes that night before I lost, you know, one of them knocked my teeth out.
That's how the conversations be. You be like, God damn,
I'm like, this is not sexy at all. They talk to the Johns, and the Johns just seem like huge losers. I remember one of them, a dude didn't have no car. And he was walking down the strip with the prostitute, so he couldn't even do the, like,
get out of here,
get in my car, let's go somewhere and have sex. He was like, come on, baby. It was all, and he was just begging, like, come on, baby, I just need some, oh, come on now, I got $20. And then he, like, she like, oh, I guess, like, the whole thing, there was nothing glamorous about all of it. It was all bad. It was like, the woman didn't want to have sex with him for the amount of money he had, and he had to haggle it down, then he haggled it down even more. And then when they had sex, he had sex with her without the condom and came inside of her, which I'm sure is a crime now.
Yes.
He thought he had won. He was like, yes, I did it. I got to have sex with her for $5 with no condom. And I'm like, oh, what about AIDS? What about, because, you know, I'm a kid.
STD,
what about, yes. STDs? What about pregnancy? Why would you even want that kind of sex specifically? It seemed
you're right.
Like you were on the street, rushed and hurried, and not, there's nothing sexy. She's complaining the whole time, like, hurry up, Jesus. Like, there's nothing sexy about all of this shit. It was so gross. And I just remember, like, looking forward to that and then being like, oh God, no, this will keep me off the street. So shout out to Hookers on the Point.
I used to love the voiceover, the dude that did the voice.
Oh, yeah. It had a deep voice dude that did a lot of weird spoken word.
Yes, he did.
It was a lot of, like, diamond strolls on the stroll to the hole.
This is when Def Jam,
that's her goal,
was very popular, like that style.
Def Poetry Jam?
Yes, that's what I meant.
Okay, yeah. It was like, you know, I don't know where that dude went, but I think he must have been.
That's the only job he got.
I feel like he must have been a John, but he, in order to get away from the police, he took his cameras out there. And then when the police would catch him about to get his dick sucked, he'd be like, no, I'm filming a documentary. That's not what you think, officer. No. Look it up. Hookers on the Point. This is, while my dick out is just part of my process creatively. You know, it's also where we got this clip.
Are you cheating now?
What's up, girl? I'm sucking dick right now. Let me call you right back.
And she was talking to that loser dude that would later have sex and pretend the condom broke. So that's what that show is about. It really scared me straight, you know. I guess it did what it needed to do, or something, somehow, because your boy was like, I don't think I want to participate in this, you know. Mm-hmm. And then Shannon Sharp, we had more stuff with him over the weekend.
Okay.
But basically he threatened to beat up Mike Epps, and they met in person at the Country Kitchen, and they squashed the beef. So they good to go. They took pictures together. But I was watching First Take this morning, and I couldn't stop but think. I had to stop and think. What the fuck was Shannon planning to do? Was he gonna beat up Mike Epps and then just come to work at the Disney owned ESPN on Tuesday like nothing happened? Something about Club Shay Shay has to give, because I just don't know how he's gonna keep this up, because you're in the talking game and you want to be on the ratchet side of the talking game. You don't want to be on the, like, 60 minutes sit down serious interview. You don't want to be on the nice light side, like a Jennifer Hudson talk show type. You want to do like some Wendy Williams gossip shit with a bunch of motherfuckers that don't have as much to lose as you.
Mm-mm.
who talk reckless and all you got for them is threats to beat them up for calling you gay, which I felt was they went too far. But then at the same time, he sat across the couch and let people call other people gay and he laughs at it. So how the fuck can I ever have his back on that in any way? Because when it's Cat Williams talking about dresses and people sucking dick for parts, he just thought it was, come on now. Come on now, Cat, come. Like, you thought that shit was funny. So when some actual comedian who's professionally funny goes on a stage and gets people to laugh at that about you, now you want to beat them up? That does seem a tad hypocritical. But I just couldn't imagine this motherfucker just, he going to beat Mike Epps up and just, at All-Star Weekend, by the way. And he was like, that, I don't know. Shannon got to get it under control. Okay. It's out of control. I was just like, think about that shit when I watched it this morning. Like, was he going to show, what happened if he showed up? What if he got shot? Because you can't beat big ass Shannon. No one can beat Shannon Sharp up. Mm-mm. Like, it's a handful of niggas that can. We don't know any of them.
Mm-mm. We don't know any of them.
Right. So Shannon Sharp show up and he's going to beat you up and you have a gun. You have to shoot this nigga. Is he going to do first take from the hospital? Have you thought this through? Mm-mm. Leave these niggas alone. Let them have their joke. If you're going to sit up there and let people call them gay or
you need to let them have unfunny
or say whatever they want to unfact checked on your show, you need to be able to move with a thicker skin, because this shit is really out of control. Also, watching the All-Star Weekend, a lot of people didn't like the All-Star game, again, because it wasn't competitive and they didn't play hard. I get it. It's not aesthetically pleasing to watch. I think the year after Kobe died, we got a really good All-Star game that was intense the whole way, but that was because everybody was super emotional mm-hmm. and wanted to pay tribute to Kobe. But in general, we haven't had competitive All-Star games where everyone's playing super hard the whole time, ever, mm-mm. period. And then we used to have it where you play hard like the last quarter, and this time they didn't even do that. They were just like, fuck it, the whole time. And so everybody's been trying to come up with ways to fix the All-Star game this weekend. How do we fix the All-Star game? We need to fix it. How are we gonna fix it? I have one idea. I've seen a lot of ideas. Oh, we play a skills contest. Well, we do that already. We can make a play 21 or whatever, you know. Just, I think the way to fix it is you move the All-Star game to Saturday night and you move the skills competition and everything else to Sunday, and that'll fix it. Because if you don't make it the last thing you see, who gives a fuck if they play hard or not? It only feels bad when it's the last thing you see. Right. It's the last thing you remember
it's
from the weekend.
Last event. Yes,
and
it
it's even more of a letdown than the 3-point contest and all that shit. I really feel like if you put the 3-point dunk contest shit on the last night, there's a potential chance of ending on a high, because every once in a while you get a dynamic dunk contest where people are like, oh my God, we didn't see that coming. You don't get that with the All-Star game pretty much ever.
Mm-mm.
So I think I fixed it, guys. Okay, so we got to the bottom of that. all right, let's go ahead and get into the rest of the show. Let me play some more music in case we want to put some more commercials in here. This one is called Don't Beat Your Feet. Damn, that shit got hard.
Mm-hmm.
More Monique stuff has happened.
Okay.
Now, I can't play all of it here, but I did watch all of it for us. Because mm-hmm. I love y'all, my sweet babies.
I'm glad you do.
I guess because Karen is passive-aggressively saying she wouldn't have done it. But okay, you're better. You know what? Let's just move on then. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I want to hear what happened.
Oh, you want to judge, but you want the information. Isn't that interesting, everybody?
I am not judging.
Yeah, you was. You like, couldn't be me. And then, because it was me. And when I said, well, fuck it, let's not talk about it. It's like, well, actually, I'm glad it was you, so you could tell me what happened.
You did it, so I didn't have
to. So you could pretend to be better than me. You want to know the same way I want to know.
I do.
So the first thing that happened was a YouTube account called Dirty City News
leaked, what a name,
leaked a 16-minute, I guess uncut, but who fucking knows, the 16-minute phone call audio that Monique let Shannon Sharp hear.
Okay.
And I'll play some of it for you, but man, matter of fact, let me play some and y'all can hear yourselves.
This right now because it's ugly and it's nasty.
Matter of fact, I'll put it on screen so y'all can see it, because the video is edited so that it shows Tyler Perry's face when he's talking, Monique when they talk, you know, like that. So it's easier to keep track of in case the voices aren't that distinguished.
You're asking me to do right now. First of all, I'm not gonna get into this right now because it's ugly and it's nasty. And it came from a comedy skit. I don't want to be a part of
it. What is ugly and nasty, Tyler, about saying? Because we're not talking about the comedy skit. You're obviously not hearing what I'm saying. No. No. Here's the thing.
You said chump change earlier. You said you don't want any chump change. Does that mean you do not want the money for Precious or what?
Wait a minute.
That's a very simple question.
I just noticed that it was edited there. Like, you hear that where it cut out?
Mm-hmm. That was some word. There was something else. Yeah. Some
here's the thing.
You said you don't want any chump change. Does that mean you do not want the money for Precious or what?
Wait a minute. It's a cut there. Yeah.
Because, you know, that big thing has been like, it's not really about the money, but weirdly, it kind of is about the money, because then they'll be like, what would you know, it's $2 to $3 million every year for 12 years, and then Tyler Perry is responsible for her not getting that money. And so it, like, so then it is about the money. And it's interesting that it cut out there. Maybe it's a coincidence that it cut out there. But once again, you heard Sydney doing most of the talking already, so you know what this is about to be.
A very simple question.
I said to you earlier, Sydney, that wouldn't be fair. I was thinking that was fair.
But what would you want to be done, sir?
How would you want it fixed, Tyler?
How would you want that fixed?
And
how would I want it fixed?
Let me tell you. Let me tell you. Let me tell you. So that, because, and my husband is that part of our team that he has the business conversations. I'm the part of the team that you saw May 13th on the stage. So what I would ask you is, because you're talking in Tyler Perry language, I would ask you to let Monique talk to Madea. Because when you start talking in Tyler Perry language, brother, you talk like you don't get it. Right, nigga. Right. You got to laugh at it because you know.
Now, I'm guessing he laughed. I mean, it's funny, but I'm guessing he also laughed because it's ridiculous.
Correct.
And it's supposed to be a business conversation. And I've been saying, like, the way that the business side seems to be,
business conversation.
This sounds crazy to me. And then keep in mind, they're the ones with an ask. He's calling them to be like, what can I do to fix this? It goes on for 15 more minutes. I can't play all of it, but whenever he's like a specific, what would y'all like? They'll be like, well, what would you like?
You're not answering my
question.
And he's
like, I mean, if it was me, I mean, I guess just somebody to come out and this is the clip that they like tried to allude to of, like, he admitted that he was wrong, of him saying basically like, and he'll get to, matter of fact, I'm gonna play more of this, but yeah, he'll get to it. But it's just this idea of like, if you say you got a problem, I call you and go, how can we fix this problem? Don't flip it back. Fucking just say what it is. Let's get it over with. I'm here to help. What do you need? And he's like, Tyler Perry's like, I can look at all the money I make off of Precious. I'll write y'all a check. Y'all can have all that money. Like, right off gate, I'm like, this is not the way this conversation was characterized.
Right.
It was he just was a dismissive asshole that didn't give a fuck about y'all, and you know, and he lied, and he's he said he would apologize.
Yeah, they
claim
they didn't get what they want, but according to you, they never told him what they wanted.
Right? Yeah, it was crazy.
Let me tell you. Let me tell you, Tyler.
He keep trying to get back to what do y'all need? He said, right. Let me ask you simply what the question is. And she's back to, you're Madea, for real. Madea's a real bitch and you not.
Y'all wasting time.
I'm like, and also you're talking like you know you recorded this and gonna put it out. Like, are you trying to resolve this or you just recording me so you can get your key keys off? For years and like I called that bitch Madea, ha ha ha.
When I watch your movies, I dig Madea, and you know why I dig her? You know why I dig her, Tyler?
Because she could be your mother.
You know why I dig her? You know why I dig her? Because that bitch is real to her gut. And
what does this have to do in a business conversation?
Nothing.
When I tell
nothing
y'all,
at all.
I feel so vindicated with what I thought about Sydney, because if this is your business acumen, this is how you handle problems, conflict resolution, contracts, this is why shit always end up fucked up. And like I said, Tyler goes in here later and talks about how it was exactly what I said it was. When she was saying he blackballed her, no, someone was talking to him in a conversation, being like, oh, we worked with Monique and everything was straight with us. How was your experience? And he was like, it was bad. And they try to turn it into, you never directly worked with her. You weren't the director on the film. He's like, right. He's trying to squash it. So he didn't even argue his point, but I'm gonna argue the point. It's exactly what I said. You were difficult once it was time to do the same shit everybody else does in the industry. You were like, I'm different and special and I need some more money or I'm not doing it. From his perspective as a producer, he's allowed to say that made it difficult for him. Promoting the film overseas without your fucking main star.
Right.
Keep in mind, he's not responsible for paying that. But no one pays that.
Right.
Which is, you wanted something unprecedented. Standard. You didn't get it. When you do unprecedented shit, you're shaking shit up, but you're making a lot of people feel a way of like, fuck, man, I can't work with them again. Because that, they basically surprised us with the I'm not doing that shit. And if we would have picked any other person to star in this film,
we wouldn't
have had this issue. And that does matter.
Mm-hmm.
But that's never the way they frame it. They just frame it like Oprah and Tyler Perry, the worst kind of people, ain't they? And I'm like, I don't know, man. Y'all sound hard to fucking work with, for real. And he's allowed to not feel like I got to evangelize for you behind the scenes. Like, no, that I didn't have that experience that you had with that person. That's it. If you really going to live and stand in it, then live and stand in it. Don't be the victim of it.
Right. And that goes back to, like I was saying before, it's okay to stand your ground, stand 10 toes down. Like, that is fine. She has the right to do that. But you also have to deal with, like you say, people feeling a certain way. People having their feelings about your response, people not responding well to you. You have to deal with that too. And now all of a sudden you're the victim of it. It's like, no, you did something and people are responding to what you did. How are you the victim?
Tyler's ass in the back and say, baby, you watching this sister and you watching her family starve. You're watching it. And you're saying, what do you want me to do? Listen, don't you play with that baby like that. You know the shit y'all did was wrong to her. You gave charity, you gave them $400,000 to $500,000 to charity, and you know that bitch got $50,000. Where's my pistol, Brown?
What?
She's for saying if Madea grabbed Tyler Perry. It's a convoluted thing. She's saying that's what Madea would say to Tyler Perry about this situation. But remember earlier, it's not about charity. It's not about money. Remember, that's what they've been saying. It's not about that. Hey, I happily got paid $50,000 for this movie. I didn't have no problems with that. It sounds like it's about money. It sounds like you still are like, that wasn't enough money. You're saying he has to make it right that you only made $50,000. This is what we've been told over and over, that it was never about money for you. It seemed like it's about money. That would have been okay, by the way, to be like, I wish I got paid more. But instead, it had to turn into like some type of crusade that typically only benefits her, even though it's for all the black women and the babies. It's only when it's for her. Same thing with the Netflix boycott shit. It just, you know, I can't unsee the stuff that I'm seeing now that, you know, like now that all this shit is coming out. But yeah, so I just thought it was chaotic and terrible. And then on top of that, she was doing stand up and someone recorded the stand up, you know, on their phone this weekend. And she was doing jokes about her son. Now, keep in mind, her, Sydney and her said her son has mental health issues. They was, you know, of course, they have the image of, you know, my sweet babies. I'm just, I love everybody. I love us for real. I'm trying to help everybody. But when it came to this particular situation, this joke is not a joke of like if Monique was the aggrieved party and anyone tried to make a joke like this about her, she would not just be like, oh, okay, well, it's just a joke. They were on stage. It doesn't count, which is a thing they kept doing to Tyler Perry, because I believe he called her after that Oprah and Tyler Perry could suck my dick thing. And so they both played it off by like, hey, when she's on stage, she's just saying whatever she could say. And I'm like, nah, because it's actually.
You meant that.
Not just that, but you go into interviews and you don't treat those. You don't. When someone asks you about it, you never go, I was just joking on stage. That's not how I feel. It's some weird gaslighty bullshit, man, where it's like, why are you throwing rocks behind your hands? Stand up in it if that's what you mean. But yeah, so this is the clip. I wish maybe I could find it on Twitter, actually, because
yeah, with a bit of sound.
Well, it's not the sound; it's the you can't pause it on.
Okay, on that version, yeah.
Yeah. So you can't pause it like that. So give me 1 second, because yeah, I did see it.
We've seen enough comedians get interviewed after they say stuff where you go, oh, you meant that, or oh, no, you were just joking. Like, there is a difference. Right. And when it was time to, quote, unquote, explain yourself and tell your side of the story.
Right.
There was no ha-ha-has.
Yeah, it's such a weird thing when your flex is I'm a victim and I need help, and black people, if you're not on my side, you're a bad black person, and mm-hmm. you're not helping me. And seeing how that goes, when it's on the other foot, when someone's going, no, you did me wrong, and someone you've admitted to not being there for, like, I wasn't a good mom, blah blah blah, until this man named daddy made me be a better person or whatever. So this son who's aggrieved, he gotta grow the fuck up. You're a grown man. Sydney's a grown man. You're a grown woman. But for you, you don't have to move on. Everybody else do, though. So this is the clip from the concert, and we'll see
it. I apologize if I've done something wrong, but I ain't no bitch that's gonna back up from a motherfucking problem. I'ma walk straight to that motherfucker, and I'ma deal with that shit. So today I'm coming through the airport in Newark, New Jersey. It's the realest nigga I've ever met from Newark, New Jersey. I'm coming through that motherfucking airport, and I've been just seeing this motherfucking TikTok of my goddamn son. Had I known that nigga was going to do a TikTok the day I brought him home.
So I guess the joke there is she would have either had an abortion or killed him or not brought him home. And this is from somebody y'all claim has mental health issues and is struggling. If you believe that, if that's the story you told us, so we wouldn't believe him. Mm-hmm. But if you believe that, you telling me your own flesh and blood, you'd be like, yeah, they having a mental health crisis. Let me make some jokes about how I would have killed them or had an abortion or not brought them home. I won't say it, but I'll let y'all think it instead. But that doesn't sound like my baby's sweetness person. That don't sound like that.
I'm going to let y'all take that one. And when you see your child that you fuck for, I fuck for that nigga, not another bitch, it was me. And you see your motherfucking child go on a goddamn internet and tell people all the fuck that you're not.
I fuck that
and you just supposed to take that shit.
Now, the person saying that is not the person recording it, supposedly. But the energy, to me, that's what you're coveting from your crowd.
Yes.
That's the energy you want pointed at your child.
Yes.
That's the flying monkey energy
mm-hmm.
of people. And once again, I you know, I know people probably don't agree with this analogy, but I feel the same about Dave Chappelle with the trans shit.
Mm-hmm.
The energy of the crowd is not one of like, ha ha, you're making me laugh at a funny joke. It's, man, fuck those people.
Yep.
And I'm taking that shit in stride. And I'm walking through the motherfucking Newark airport, and this elderly woman comes up to me. She said, Monique.
Oh, and we don't need to hear the whole joke. I'm sorry. The rest of the joke is essentially the old lady tells her, fuck your son. Fuck that nigga. Ha, ha, ha. That's the punchline. Fuck that nigga. Everybody laughs at saying, fuck your son. Fuck that nigga. And once again, if this shit would have happened to her.
We never hear the end of it.
Because Oprah and Tyler Perry ain't never said nothing publicly about her. If any of them did and it was anything less than I'm completely sorry, I hug you like Lee Daniels did, I feel like she'd be talking about that shit some more.
Of course.
So, yeah, it's made me really look at her completely differently. I still stand by what I said about her having, you know, she has this trauma. She has this man that she feels probably protects her, even if I think he's isolating her and bad for business. She feels how she feels. There's nothing anyone can do about that. They're grown-ups. Mm-hmm. But being grown-up does come with, like, well, then reap the consequences of the shit you sow. This is how you resolve conflict in the most fiery public ways. And when it's your shit, there's no accountability. So, you know, I can't co-sign that just for any reason. You know?
And people are going to respond to that in different ways. You're going to have some people that's going to fight back. You're going to have some people that aren't going to fight back. You're going to have some people that's like, I didn't opt to be a part of this. When you burning everything down, they go, you can burn my house down, but you ain't going to burn me in it.
Right.
And they can just be like, well, I'm not saying anything. I'm not addressing her. I'm just going to, like, she doesn't exist, because any friction with her is a problem. So for some people, they're like, I don't care if she her and Lee Jane, you got it over with. That's their relationship.
Like I said, I didn't play the whole thing, but y'all can go listen to it on YouTube. That whole 16-minute conversation with Tyler Perry is like, oh no, y'all not trying to really, what you want is complete submission.
Yes, get down.
You
want
to publicly embarrass these people until they completely submit to whatever the fuck it is, and not even, you don't even have an ask, by the way. The ask is your submission. Like, you need to run with the version of the truth I'm telling people. And if you say your truth or your version or anything that don't back me up, I'm taking it like you are blackballing me out of Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know how to tell you this. We got a disagreement. And we both have our version of whatever the fuck happened.
Right.
But it don't mean one of, like, I'm lying and you're telling the truth. It could absolutely mean I think you did me dirty. And you don't agree. So guess what? We don't work together. And if anybody asks us about each other, this is what we say. Because how you gonna come at Tyler Perry like you blackballed me, but at the same time you've been doing interviews saying this nigga ain't shit for years?
Right.
That don't count as trying to get him something. The shit only counts one way. And so I just feel like that's kind of ridiculous to me. But all right, we got other news too. We got other news to talk about. Let's see. Benzino.
I haven't heard that name in a hot minute.
Felt like we were just talking about Benzino and Eminem, but
okay.
Benzino did a diss track to Marshall, and it was bad. No one liked it. Well, I guess he went on the Drink Champs, and talked about the Eminem beef that he's been having for it's got to be like almost 20 years now.
Does Eminem know?
right.
I mean, I hate to be like this.
Yeah, nah, you make a good point. I think this is the clip.
I don't hate Eminem because I don't know him. I don't hate white people because my father, that I love very much, turned me on at 12, 13 to deal with Irish and Italian people and sell drugs. And I looked at these people as great men. I got stabbed by a white dude in Boston Tech my first year in high school because of race shit in Boston. All I'm saying, bro, I lived through this too long, man. And it's like white and black people, hip-hop brought us together, man. Like, I don't hate Eminem and I don't hate white people, bro. All I'm saying is, like, black people who think you so arrogant and think y'all celebrities and better than everybody, everybody just gotta chill, bro. You gotta understand that white people came to this country and established it, so it's theirs. Common sense. But if you wanna, like, really be cool, don't think you're better than the next nigga. You ain't shit just like the next nigga in their eyes, but you a Don and a king in our eyes. Let's build each other. Let me tell you about the Jews that Kanye talked about. The Jews was the slaves, and they came together, and they bought within each other, and they now look at them. Media, banking, entertainment, they run shit. We can run shit. But we don't, we killing each other. All you young niggas, man, stop killing each other. We don't need to kill each other no more. Those are your brothers and your kids. The niggas that you killing are the same people that...
Oh, he is gone.
I just think this is alcohol talking.
I do too. I do too. Yeah, this is like kind of at the end of the podcast. Oh, he is faded.
Yeah, people are saying like, oh, he's crying. I'm like, I mean, I get he's just that drunk.
He's just that drunk.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. That just was more like a advertiser for why you don't spend 3 hours drinking shots with Nori.
With a microphone in your face.
They don't be talking during Nori. They be like, Nori talks over the guests. Not when he about to get a viral clip of your ass crying. He was quiet as a church mouse. He was like, go ahead, Thun. Talk that Thun language. But yeah, he just...
I let you talk too then.
But also, I would say, like, how many times does Marshall Mathers have to do this to people? Like, just leave him alone.
Leave
him alone. Leave him alone. If you really love black people and you a rapper, if you really love black people, leave Eminem alone.
Right.
All you doing is adding to the tally of motherfuckers he's beat. And these goddamn beefs. He don't bother nobody. He don't even talk shit about us.
Mm-mm.
He be talking shit about pop stars and Mariah Carey and shit. If we just leave him alone, he never say nothing about anybody in the hip-hop world. But nah, you gotta push it. He literally only had white-on-white violence for like 10 years.
Yes, he did.
He's just like, I don't like Insane Clown Posse. We're like, who? Black people does listen. Who's that?
Ain't that the truth? Who?
Yeah. Who the fuck is Insane Clown Posse, Eminem? We don't listen to them either.
We don't know who that is.
You know? He's like, oh, you know who else I don't like? New Kids on the Block. We're like, I guess in 1988, we haven't liked them since then. Like, what? Why are you talking about them? It's almost 2000. What's happening, Eminem? Then Benzino and them had to say some shit, and then how many fucking times we got to go through this? Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. With the number one country hit, Beyonce is taking on the genre. Critics take notes or step aside.
Let's go.
Yeah. So I guess she got, I guess it made it to number one.
Mm-hmm, because they was calling in.
Yeah. I didn't even realize it got there. Already.
Maybe they been playing them two songs on loop. All them goddamn TikTok videos has been floating all up and down. Every timeline got a version of it.
Beehive don't play.
Mm-mm.
Cardi and Offset seem to be possibly back together or been in their relationship because they spent Valentine's Day together.
That's sweet.
Yeah. That's why I don't be getting involved in all this back and forth gender war bullshit.
Child, I've seen family members get together, separate, get married, remarried, divorced 2-3 times. I've seen it all, so you never know.
This just feels like that shit where someone talking shit about they recent ex, and then you join in, and then they get back together. It's like, what's up with all that shit you said? And you're like, oh, fuck.
That's why I don't say anything.
Yeah. Speaking of talking about people's girls, Usher reveals that he felt attacked. He said he felt attacked by his fans during his marriage to Tamika Foster. I felt like my female fans were judgmental of the woman that I chose. So he got married the day after the Super Bowl.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
That's sweet.
And so he was talking to People and he's,
magazine.
Yeah.
Okay.
The website, I guess, now, and magazine. And so they were interviewing
him. I'm old. I went to magazine first.
But he was talking about how he previously was married to a woman, Tamika Foster, in the late 2000s. She was a stylist. And he said that people were very critical of her and her looks and all this stuff. He said, I think I became very closed off and then felt under attack in many ways. It was somewhat unconventional at a time when I felt my female fans were critical of the woman I chose. He expressed uncertainty regarding the root of the public scrutiny towards Foster, though he speculated on possible reasons. She was a dark-skinned woman, and perhaps they were reluctant to embrace her due to reasons that might reflect their own biases. Damn, this nigga read the bell hooks or something. Or possibly they judged her based on her behavior, but that's not for me to dwell on. I did what I believe was right. During a heartfelt interview with Essence Magazine at the time, he reflected on how the backlash impacted their relationship. Our love story isn't typical, but it's real. Tamika and I were lucky enough to face our challenges early on. We had the chance to unite as a team, ensuring we communicated with a single voice. Despite their efforts, they did go their separate ways in 2009, and he just got married again to music executive Jen Jen Goicoechea, maybe that's right. The couple is now parents to daughter Sarvin and son Sire. But yeah, I've seen this happen before. People do this, even with his new wife. I saw people like, and I don't know if they just think they're being fans of his or just these people aren't real people. Their lives are just fodder. But there's a lot of negative comments about his age-appropriate wife. Like, Usher, for real? You know, like, what? Well, I mean, if he was dating Ice Spice, like Shaq said he wanted to do, would y'all be cool with that? Like, what's Usher supposed to do? He's got two children with this woman that he's clearly been with for a while, and he's getting married after, like, what would the issue be here? But yeah, I did see people kind of going in on her looks and stuff.
Because that's a bullshit that people like to do.
Yeah, and he's right, and it's sad. I mean, he said it himself, but a lot of it being women and fans of his, which is it's very odd for that to be how your fandom expresses itself.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's a picture of her. She looks fine. Right. What the fuck? I don't even know what the problem would be.
Mm-hmm.
They're just, it's just, he's Usher. He's not with, you know, if he's not with so-and-so, why isn't he just dating Halle Berry or whatever?
Right.
But, yeah, man, it was just such a wild, weird thing. And I'm sorry that made it back to him in a way that made him feel like he needed to comment, you know? Joe Manchin said he's not running for president.
Okay.
Good. No one was gonna vote for him anyway,
right? I don't know why these niggas run. They get like 1 or 2%. The fuck is this?
We don't have time for this bullshit, right? So I guess he got information. Yeah. FBI informant charged with lying about Joe and Hunter Biden's ties to Ukrainian energy company. This informant is the main witness in the fake ass impeachment and Hunter Biden Kate trial stuff.
And people was like, y'all don't have anything. Y'all wasting motherfucking time.
Right. So he falsely reported to the FBI in June 2020 that executives associated with the Ukrainian energy company Burisma paid Hunter and Joe Biden $5 million each in 2015 or 2016. Prosecutor said in indictment. He told his handler that an executive claimed to have hired Hunter Biden to protect us through his dad and all kinds of problems. They say, in fact, Smirnoff had only routine business dealings with the company in 2017 and made the bribery allegations after he expressed bias against Joe Biden when he was a candidate for president. But this is the two sets of facts, America. The Republicans will run with this no matter what. I feel like even with this indictment for lying and whatever he says, if he is convicted or pleads guilty or retracts it, they'll go, oh, it's a conspiracy that made them be that way. Like, they won't just admit we know we have nothing, which is, you know, I think is the real truth, is they don't have anything and they're just hoping. They just want to go, we tried to indict President Biden. They tried to indict Trump. See, it's the same.
And it's not.
Right. As a matter of fact, ours is real and theirs is fake. You know, that kind. And I don't know that. Honest, in my heart of hearts, I don't think anyone falls for these lies. I really don't. I really think people just join in on their side.
Yes.
I don't think they really, truly believe, like, yes, this Trump is clean, Joe Biden is dirty, and the Republicans fooled me. That's what I walk around believing. I think they have to fight on that lie.
Oh, yes.
Because it's like, I'm voting for this man no matter what, so whatever I need to be true is what's going to be true.
All right.
High-profile Republicans are heading for the exits amid House GOP dysfunction. So a lot of Republicans are actually not running for office again. Mm. And I think a lot of that.
I did this. I was saying.
What happened is no one's covering this story the whole time. We've just been covering the Democrats aren't perfect. The Democrats can't do this.
Wow.
The Democrats.
This is important.
And I've been saying on this show for a long fucking time that this is going to be the easiest election season for me, probably in my lifetime, maybe since 2012, because I know who I'm voting for, and I really don't have anything to argue or fight with anyone about.
Right.
This is the easiest choice I've made since 2000, since the last election. Like, if they lose, they lose, but I can't worry about that. That's not, there's
That's
nothing
beyond my
I can
control.
Do. But I've been like, why isn't anyone talking about their side?
Right.
And how these motherfuckers haven't passed anything since they've been in the office.
They have not.
The only thing they've done is kept the government open, and it barely at that. And then they got rid of the first guy who kept the government open.
Mm-hmm.
And any legislation Biden was able to pass, they were like mad about it. They don't want anything for our country. They just want to tell us how shitty the country is while doing nothing about it. They had a border bill. They had one on the table, and
yep,
Trump told them
exactly
not to sign it.
What they wanted.
Trump told them not to sign the immigration bill. And they said at the last second, they said, we better not. We can't. So what happens is the media reports it like a monolith. Oh, the Republicans all decided that they didn't want to do that because they love Trump. Forgetting that some of the people in this party don't fuck with Trump.
Right.
They never wanted more of Trump. They were glad when he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them ran on, and maybe they were naive enough to believe it, but they thought they would have a chance to govern.
Right. Actually do some shit.
They didn't think, I'm going up here and Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz are going to be the voices of the party. They thought they were going up there hoping Mike McCarthy would be some sort of moderate voice.
Yeah, I can see they was like, we went up here and bitch, we didn't have a Speaker of the House for weeks. The fuck is this?
And so now they're bowing out, but they're not just it's not just that people are bowing out. It's who's bowing out. Because what type of Republican is leaving right now? Probably one that's a moderate.
Yes.
Meaning probably one that's in a seat that a Democrat, that is vulnerable to Democrats.
I hope so.
Because Republican moderates only, because we're so polarized a nation and voting is so restricted, Republican moderates only exist in places where either side could win.
Mm-hmm.
There's no such thing as a moderate out beating out a firebrand like ultra conservative, because they gerrymander the vote so bad that when you do that, wherever Marjorie Taylor Greene is at, she's probably going to end up being safe.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how embarrassing she does, whatever. Lauren Boebert too. Because when you're such an extreme figure like that, that normally you can only be elected in a district that's so red that the reddest red gets the job.
Yes.
Because if it was purple or blue, you can't come in there talking crazy.
Right.
They won't elect you. They'll be like, get the fuck out of here. They've signed up to do serious things, and we're not doing serious things, said Representative Ken Buck of Colorado, a conservative who is retiring after bucking his party on several key issues. Representative Don Bacon of Nebraska, a moderate who represents a key swing seat, pointed to his party's struggle to govern as driving the departures.
We want to pass bills. We're trying to do shit. We don't want the government to shut down, and y'all out here acting like motherfucking fools.
Even if you want the shit that they want, the regressive bullshit that I hate, they're not passing that either.
No, they're not. They're not passing anything.
If you ran on any of this shit, it's not happening.
Mm-mm.
When you're divided in your own conference, the joy of the job is harder, he told CNN. When you have folks on your own team with their knives out, it makes it less enjoyable. Representative Carlos Jimenez of Florida, an ally of deposed former Speaker Kevin McCarthy, said this is not how he or many of his colleagues imagine life in the majority, saying, I thought that some of our members would be smarter. A lot of us are frustrated with what's going on, and that's just being flat out honest. It's foolish, and it's been proven to be foolish. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
I agree with him. Yeah. With that statement.
So I'm just saying, man, it's gonna be interesting what happens, because while everyone's been worried about Trump, they've been ignoring Democrats have not lost the seats they said they were gonna, everyone predicted they were gonna lose. There's been no red wave. There's only been blue waves, or there's been status quo for the most part. Everything they said about how Joe Biden's so terrible and unpopular and it's gonna fuck the whole party up, well, it hasn't been happening, and at some point it's okay to consider maybe the media is just giving us that the sky is falling Chicken Little shit, because yes, that's what keeps our anxiety going,
to keep you glued.
And meanwhile, they haven't really done that much talking about this. This is one of the first articles I've ever seen talk about the GOP dysfunction making their people leave the party. It makes sense that those people will be leaving the party, right? I mean, as I've been saying for months on this show about how, yes, at some point they have the crack in their party, and it's good watching them fight amongst each other, mm-hmm, which always drives some folks out. You know, Liz Cheney was a sign.
Yes.
Because she's not a good person, but just for her being against Trump, it means she had to go. Everybody saw that. Not everybody saw that and said, I'm going to fall in line. Some people saw that and said, I don't even want to be part of this shit.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm enjoying this. I'm glad they're squirming, and good on everybody.
Yeah, go get them seats, Democrats.
Yeah. Alabama Supreme Court rules that frozen embryos are children under the state law. Yeah.
Frozen embryos.
Yep.
That's frozen egg, right?
They could be considered children under state law. A decision critics said could have sweeping implications for fertility treatment in the state. All I'm saying is this. If you are a Christian, if you're a Christian and you eat eggs in the morning, you eat scrambled eggs, eggs on, what the fuck?
This is stupid.
Don't y'all believe like life started at just egg? Like, it's just like, goddamn, you had your period this month, you should get the death penalty. Like, what is happening?
This doesn't make any sense, because a lot of people use these services for people that can't conceive and for all types of reasons. This is stupid.
Well, it makes sense to me, because what happens is the trial is never about what the headline's about.
Yes,
so
I agree.
Here's what the trial's about. Three couples had frozen embryos destroyed in an accident at a fertility clinic. Justices citing anti-abortion language in the Alabama Constitution ruled that an 1872 state law allowing parents to sue over the death of a minor child applies to all unborn children, regardless of their location. Unborn children are children without exception based on developmental stage, physical location, or other ancillary characteristics, Judge J. Mitchell wrote. So this trial was not about determining this, really. It was supposed to be a trial about what damages are owed to these couples.
Mm-hmm. Which makes
And it
sense.
Turned into, and I'm sure it'll be challenged and brought to the Supreme Court, where they may make it law of the land or something, or decline it and let the state have this draconian type law. But essentially, they took this case to make it, like, someone somewhere, I'm sure, became like, we'll take the case, we'll be your lawyers, because what we're really interested in is getting a ruling that says even a fucking frozen embryo is a child.
Right. Had been fertilizing. Nobody sperm around it to do anything to it to actually start the process.
Embryos might be frozen, might be fertilized. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure how that works. Let's see.
Okay. I'm assuming it's just the egg.
The ruling is stating that a fertilized egg, which is also a clump of cells, is now a person. So I guess the embryo is the fertilized one. It really puts into question the practice of IVF. The National Infertility Association told the AP Tuesday. The group called the decision a terrifying development for 1 in 6 people impacted by infertility who need in vitro fertilization. She said it raises questions for providers and patients, including if they can freeze future embryos created during fertility treatment, or if patients could ever donate or destroy unused for embryos. Right. Because if you say that's a child and abortion is illegal, let's say I have you fertilize two of my eggs. We use one of them. And the other one, what do? It's just got to sit there forever.
Right.
What happens when it dies from just the fact that it's been frozen so long? What happens when no one's here to take care of it? Because where I'm gone, everyone's gone. It's just a fertilized egg got to sit in storage forever. But that's not what this was really about. It was about finding a way to make every, even the fucking like idea of like, you took the fucking Plan B pill into murder. That's what it's about.
Yes,
that's really what it's about. Mm-hmm. They're gonna get to a point where they're like, yeah, you took the Plan B pill, you're fucking going to jail.
Yeah, and the thing is, this happened for a friend of mine having a complication, had a miscarriage. And for some people, it's hard for your body to naturally go through the process. So they give them medicine to kind of go through the, help your body go through the process. So it's one of those things. So if I'm somebody where I'm going through this process, and a lot of it is, truth be told, they don't care. They just want women to die. They want the children to die. They're like survival of the fittest, type of thing. It's like, just don't get pregnant then, type of thing. Just don't fucking don't get pregnant.
I think it's about controlling women.
Correct. And when I mean survival of the fittest, is like, well, your body ought to just naturally be able to take care of these things. Like, if it can't, that's
no,
the problem.
You're right about survival of the fittest, because I just, what it made me think about is when someone gets pregnant or something like that, how quick they're to be like, complications, whatever.
Yeah, and then they're talking about, the birth rate going down.
But,
yes.
I mean, not just, but for, I'm saying, I think it's just about controlling women's bodies. Whether the birth rate go up or down, they don't really care. It's just controlling women's bodies. Because when someone comes and says, hey, they told me having this baby will kill me and the baby. And they'd be like, survival of the fittest. It's apocalypse rules now.
Though we have things that can take care of you and save your life, fuck that.
And we just let this country be this way, man.
Right.
People just let the country be this way. I think unfertilized eggs is next.
Yes.
I think we're going to get, someone's going to sue somebody over just a period. Like, somebody's just going to do it. All right. You know what? We need a palate cleanser, guys.
Yes, we do, sir.
And, I want to do something that it's not really related to the show, but I think it's funny.
Okay.
And I've been looking at this thing for a long time, and I keep going back to it, and I see if I can find it on my Twitter. I'm ready, guys. This is so funny to me, and it's giving me so much immense joy, and I hope I can share it with y'all and it'll give y'all the same joy. It's this video about a man trying to get, I've sent it to everybody I love. Okay. Everybody I know, just about my dad, everybody. I'll just let the skit explain itself. Okay. But if you can't see the video, it's a man with his speakerphone on, listen to a voicemail. Okay.
You ain't been answering my calls. I got that new Apple Vision Pro on the way for you. Express shipping. But you gotta bring on out them whips and chains. I'm trying to take you down. Oh, I wanna lick on my sugar, baby. I want a piece of that meat. I'm a freaky lady.
He was drinking soda. He's fitted out at that. I want a piece of that meat.
Baby, I want a piece of that meat. I'm a freaky lady. Go down on me, baby. Yeah, I'm pretty tasty. Yeah, he 28, Shane. He don't eat no pussy. But wait till Mabel get him. He gonna make it do it. Hey.
When I tell y'all.
That it makes me crack up every goddamn time I hear it.
When I tell y'all, I sing this around the house.
He does, 10, y'all.
15 times a day.
It's hilarious.
Honestly, every time I get into bed, I sing this to Karen. It's the greatest fucking video I've ever seen in my life. This man is a comedic genius, and I hope he gets his own TV show. He should get an Oscar just for that.
Yes!
I don't know who does, if he does the voice or not, but that's his second. That's his second one. He had one for PS5 a while ago. I didn't save that one.
No problem.
But man, that motherfucking Mabel. The voice is so accurate. Oh man, so good. We have a good time here, guys. Now everybody's palate's been cleansed. All
yes,
right,
it has.
So you know we should be able to do something else. I guess we can now. Where's my segment music? Okay, yeah. Now that we've done that, we might as well start fucking with black people. Right? That's what we do.
We're just fucking with them people because they black. We're just fucking with them people because they black. We're just fucking with them black people. We're just fucking with them blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
Hey, yeah. I said, can you leave me alone? All I wanna do is go home. I said, leave me alone. I wanna live another day, go home. I said, can you leave me alone? I wanna go home like do I.
Show his phone. All right. Angel Reese reveals that she is cool with Caitlin Clark following their on-court rivalry. I love that we're able to compete and still be cool after.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. It's very interesting because I remember a certain half-white comedian. He was crying Karen tears, losing his mind.
The watercolors.
Never watched a second of NCAA women's basketball in his life. He was, oh, my poor sweet white child angel, my sweet babies. Oh, Lord, what is this white girl going to do? She done lost the game and the black people picked on her. It's like, well, she been picking on the black people when she kicked their ass the whole time.
Whole season.
It didn't just start today, JL. He was like, no, ripping my garments from the hymns.
Come on, cover in ash.
I'm gnashing my teeth over here. I've never been so offended in my life at the sweet child angel of the greatest, the highest scoring player in women's NCAA history of all time,
my nigga.
Could still has a year. She could come back and get some more if she wanted. But she is a sweet darling. Genteel, even a Southern Belle, if you will. And I was like, JL, I'm pretty sure she could take it. She taunts everybody. I've been watching the games. She taunts everybody whose ass she's kicking.
Mm-hmm.
And she don't have no mercy. It's no, and she don't discriminate. It's everybody. You can all get some. I'm pulling up from the logo. How dare you? She was doing the motherfucking Tony Yayo the whole year. And I said at the time, I said, JL, my brother in Christ, my half-Haitian brother, this white woman will be okay. She don't need your righteous help.
Mm-mm.
Okay? She's fine. She taunts people and she gets taunted and it's all in the game. You played basketball before. You know what it's like that some motherfuckers be showboating and you get them. It's showboat time. You don't like it? Keep me out the end zone. You know, it's doing Ray Lewis's dance on him when Randy Moss scored that touchdown that time. You like, hey, you brave, but I get it. Ray can't be like, that wasn't right, man. Well, every time you sack somebody, you do the dance. Like, what the fuck? Only you get to celebrate? That's not how this works. Fair is fair play. Mm-hmm. And I said, just because they're women don't mean they're not competitors.
Right.
Okay? And they operate the same way we operate. Russell Westbrook dunks on somebody, and he did that little, the like you too little celebration where you put your hand down by the floor. And sometimes he'd even do the rock a baby to sleep.
Ah, yes.
And so sometimes people score on him and they do it too.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't start an international racial incident. You don't have to start telling black people not to burn down the CVS. It's just sports. And so to hear Angel Reese say, yeah, we cool. We talk. We like, we just competitive and it's cool. Caitlin done already said this, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Last year when it happened, she was like, yeah, it happens. She got me. She taunted me. I be doing shit sometimes. And they got me. So, yeah, I just wanted to say zero fucked with for myself. I knew, because I knew this would happen. I was the one who was right. So I guess it's easy for me to not be fucked with. But, you know, for those that were wrong, you know, maybe y'all should feel bad. But
Rod was right.
Who are wrong? All of you are wrong.
That's all I'm saying. All right. My poor, gentle, sweet white alabaster angel. How's she ever going to get over there?
Brother, you're wrong. That's not true.
Karen, what would you give it?
This one I'm going to get is when two scores are zero because, you know, I love basketball and part of talking basketball is talking shit. And then the other end is a 100 for me because it was like ridiculous online, like on social media. And it bothered me because I was like, this shit ain't that important. A lot of y'all over here don't watch men basketball. Don't watch basketball at all. Actually, don't give a fuck. And you're only over here, you know, because you want to fall out in front of this white woman. If it had been anybody else, you wouldn't have gave a fuck.
It's the race war.
Correct.
That sports always ends up becoming in America. That everyone denies we're participating in. But it became a race war. Motherfuckers, I mean, and it was both sides. I mean, there were black people I know that ain't watch a goddamn game.
Mm-mm.
That was over here all of a sudden like, I'm team. You know, it's like, black people need help. I'm here. And so that happened. But, you know, I guess we know what side brother JL would be on. Okay? We know what side that dear brother would be. And that, it wouldn't be with us. It'd be with the plutocrats and the oligarchs. check out JL's YouTube channel, by the way.
He's the fucking best.
He's doing a great Cornel West that's been cracking me up. He's doing movie reviews. It's hilarious. Schoolboy Q retracts his past.
Rapper.
This isn't Who News, but yes. Oh, he is a rapper.
I'm sorry. Okay. My bad.
Oh my God.
I don't be knowing what we playing sometimes, y'all.
I'm the one that's high. Schoolboy Q retracts his past opinion of white people saying the N-word. I was on drugs. Someone pulled out a book that someone wrote, and the chapter title was Big as Hell. And they just took a screenshot of the chapter title. So you don't, like, it's not like a Kindle or something. Like, they're reading a physical book, and they just took a picture of, like, hey, look at this chapter of the book. And the title of the chapter is Schoolboy Q Wants White People to Say the Word. And then underneath, like once it gets past the bro print, the actual paragraph says, nigga, at his concerts. His desire is not passive either. It isn't da da da. As Schoolboy quote tweeted it, it said, I was on drugs. No, I don't. Laughing emoji.
Fucking hilarious.
I guess he decided now that I'm not high, I don't want white people saying nigga at my concerts.
It is not cool.
Oh man. But yeah, he was, this is the big controversy, of course, that is eternal, which is always, if a white people are at a concert and the rapper says the N-word on stage, can the white people rap along and say the N-word? And I guess Schoolboy Q, while on drugs, said, yeah, why not? And now not on drugs says, of course, a lot of reasons why not.
That makes complete sense.
0 to 100, Karen.
This one gets a 25, only because I just irritated for the fact that he said it, but he gets a 25 because it's like, I'm down. That, no, I don't. I actually don't agree with that.
I give it I'm with you. That's a great score. 25. Like, you know, it would have been 100 when you said that dumb shit, but now it's 25. Like, okay, at least you knew you was on the drugs.
Right.
Killer Mike has a plan to fix the black community.
Black banking?
Well, that was the other plan before, you know, he got caught with the real estate stuff. But which he knows nothing about, whatever Victor was doing or whatever, he don't know. Anyway, he was talking to RFK Jr.
Who was that?
Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
He's oh, okay, that president. Dude. Okay, I thought it was some kind of rap. I was like, who? I ain't never heard of him. Okay, but that person, yes.
Okay. So he was talking to Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and he was talking about his plan to help fix the black community.
Talking about that Republican?
Yeah, basically. He's the anti-vax, that guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're a young family. We know our welfare system has...
Hold on, let me pull it back a little bit.
It did not work. I did work. Her mother, I put through school. I did not put myself through school. I did everything I could to make sure that in case I died, this woman would be okay with my children. She signed up for TANF, welfare, that type of stuff, which helps. It helps to bridge, especially when you're a young family. We know our welfare system has been constructed in a way that excludes men. Mm-hmm. It gave women an incentive not to have men in there. Right. It actually says, yeah, we'll come through your house and we'll search your house. And if look it's you, there. Yeah. So you're kind of set up from day one.
Hold on, you didn't know they looked under your bed and checked?
Yeah. Okay. Ask somebody who worked on the hood. That's why Ben Carson shouldn't have been running the hood. God bless him. I would want him to work on my brain, but not control my housing. Mm-hmm. So back to child support. I think the solution is this, and I'm out your way. 2 years. Young woman gets pregnant as a teenager. Young man and woman get pregnant. This is the 2-year plan. First 2 years are debt free. You don't have to pay the government anything back. So she doesn't get to drag him into court and say, and the court doesn't say, you owe us money for investing in your child through food programs, through early Head Start programs. Because in those 2 years, the boy has the option, or not an option, he has the demand of the co-man to then go to a trade school. You have to go to a trade school, which incentivizes the United States to do it, because we need more trades people. We don't have enough carpenters. We don't have enough electricians. We don't have enough people building roads.
And in the top right corner of the video, it's blacks for Kennedy. So this is Kennedy going to talk to some black people. Killer Mike being one of the black people. Every person I see in there, I think, might be a man on camera. So no black women in the room, at least on camera, that seemed to be talking. Maybe they were in different segments or something. I don't know.
Pregnant, this is the 2-year plan. First 2 years of school, which incentivizes you. Sorry. Pregnant, you must now go through 2 years of trade school.
But wait a minute. So, okay, I like what you're saying.
Let me give you the rest of the answer.
Okay, go ahead.
After that boy graduates, you get a further incentive if you and the girl marry. If you and the girl marry, we'll give you these incentives. Zero finance home loans, something out of HUD besides an apartment with a leaky faucet and rats and roaches in it, but incentivize marriage, which then strengthens our community, the black community, and strengthens the greater community, because now you have more American marriages, you have people with stronger financial stability, and you have tradespeople married to women of education, and you begin to recreate communities like what Auburn Avenue was, what Edgewood was. I believe you could do this from the executive order, because the money that Ford funnels down from the feds through the states to help mothers, then it can be attached. Well, we're not only helping mothers, we're helping fathers too. Mm-hmm. If a boy gets a woman pregnant, not only does she receive TANF, I see your face, right? Good idea.
So it is all black men, by the way. No, so you got that.
If a woman receives TANF, she receives this, the boy now has a must. You're federally required now to go to trade school. Mm-hmm. And in those 2 years, what you put out on the other side,
how are you going to enforce the federal requirement to go to trade school because you got someone pregnant from the government? How is the government going to enforce that? Are you going to jail if you didn't go to trade school, if you don't decide? Because the problem with child support isn't necessarily just the scenario he's painting, where it's young people who accidentally have a kid and it's like, oh man, I don't want to pay child support. A lot of grown-ass men ain't paying child support.
Right.
And a lot of the young men are choosing not to. They're like, I'm avoiding child support. I'm avoiding being a father even. So this whole plan of like, you got to go to trade school, you got to marry this girl, it's so ridiculous, because from a government authority situation, you're not going to be able to enforce it. And only on the black community, that, like, it's these type of things where it's like, I love that you can rap. I love your albums, but I don't find his solutions or suggestions to be very smart in many cases, and definitely not realistic. And this is also what happens when you look at the stats and work backwards. Poorly Misunderstood, it's a book I quote on the show sometimes. It's about the myths of poverty in America. And one of the things it talks about early on is marriage. How people think get married, two-parent home, that will stop poverty. And they're working backwards. Because then everything, well, it's all about just getting married. No, what happens is people who have get married. People who have can get married. People who don't have typically can't get married. People who have also have a higher chance of success in life. Right. So the marriage will work more often than not if you have some money. The relationship and the child raising and the school and the expenses, everything works a little bit better if you have the money. That's what that really is about. It's not, so you can't work backwards and be like, whatever it takes to get these people married, the rest of it'll work out. It's like, and then what happens if they get divorced 2 years later? You know, like, it's just, there's no, and what happens if you got someone pregnant you don't want to marry? So what if it's an abusive situation? There's a lot of shit that's just in the equation that I don't think is considered. But, you know, he got to sit at the table, and I think that's the most important thing to Killer Mike, is being able to sit at the table of Republicans and conservative people and be like, I was there, more so than are they listening and going to do any fucking thing I said to do.
Is a person who's trained, a person who has an incentive to marry, and a person who becomes a taxpayer and not just a taker of taxes. I think that that's the answer.
I just got to jump in because Mike just took us to church, and Mr. Kennedy, that would also help with my.
So, yeah, I don't know who she is. She's off camera, but yeah, that was his solution to help the black community. So, you know, Ice Cube posted pictures with Robert F. Kennedy last summer. I also don't know why they sign up for these people that have no chance of winning.
Mm-mm.
I think I have an idea why they sign up. I think, honestly, this is where the spotlight is. There's no spotlight on any black person in America, basically, for going, yeah, I'm going to vote Democrat and it's not
a quote-unquote exciting.
Yeah,
right.
I support whoever's on the left. Or the most left, whatever, I support them, and there's really no. But if you support like the third party kook or Republicans, then the clip goes a little more viral. So maybe that's what he's after. Anyway, 0 to 100, Karen.
This gets a Jacaris, and maybe it's just me. I'm tired of black men dictating and telling the community how they should and should not behave, as though they're 100% of the community. And you don't have people in other groups like women, LGBTQ, and all these other people that are going to be impacted by these things. Because when you say this, you're considering straight people, and you're not even really considering women. Because the truth be told, if you're going to do something like this, if you're going to implement something like this, ask women. Ask them what they've been through with niggas. Right. Ask them why. Ask them questions like, why do you take them to court? Like if you really want to actually
keep in mind, in his mind, and this happens a lot with child support. In a lot of people's minds when they talk about it, because we're such a conditioned society to believe in monogamy and marriage in the Christian, Judeo-Christian way, the assumption is always that woman wants to be with that man.
Right.
Every time. It's not just child support. I just want you to be financially responsible for the commitment to the child that you're shirking, because most of the time, like you said, there's a reason people take someone to court.
Right. I don't do it because I don't have nothing fucking else to do with my time.
There's a lot of people that have never been to court for child support.
Correct.
That didn't have to get something on paper. We don't track that, obviously, because how would we? But I know people that have had children. They're not together in a romantic sense, but they're co-parents, and they figure out a way to support the child. And it's not just the way it's framed of like a woman trying to come up, or, you know, why that child need shoes that's not just Payless on his feet, you know, because once a man and a woman start arguing over the child support shit, men typically talk about it as if what is the cheapest fucking way to have a child? Like, what is the, how can I give my child the bare minimum? Just get them oodles and noodles instead of baby formula. And anything you that is above and beyond that, you better put it on yourself if that you want the child taken care of. And no, I don't really want to see him. And no, I don't. And the only time I want to see him and split the custody is if it's a money thing. Like, I could save some money. But other than that, it's just a fucking bill to me. And so when you have that attitude from a lot of guys, not every guy, obviously, right. I just told y'all there's a lot of parents that don't go through this shit.
Mm-mm.
But if you happen to get one of these guys that don't want to do any of this shit, it's not a matter of like, well, the government didn't help enough. They don't want to do it.
Right.
They don't want to be parents. Or the women are like, I don't want you to be around me all the time. Who knows what kind of situation you could have, you know? So it's always interesting how, like you said, it's never considered because they ain't talked to the woman the first considering this. It just sounds like a cool solution. And especially the man-centric way it's painted of, we got to do something about men needing to pay child support.
Right. And it's also, it's very frustrating because they act like marriage is the solution to everything. And it's not. Marriage is not the solution to everything. Particularly here in America, we paint marriage like marriage is the end all be all. Get married and everything will be all right. Bitch, a lot of people got married and it made shit worse. So marriage is not the answer. And on top of that, when people talk about, well, you got married, it makes things better. You know what, nigga, now we got two of everything. Now we got twice as much debt. Now we got everything is two times. And people don't really consider that when you get married. Everybody think you get married and everything just becomes all right. And that's not a true statement.
Yeah, like I said, it's always based on the assumption a woman wants to get married because it never says force the. It's always like we force the man, we incentivize him to marry this woman. It's because she, of course, will want it. Like she's there to be married. But yeah, I mean, I give it a Dracarys. You know, I think I have. It's mostly because the RFK Jr. shit sitting across from the governor of. Oh, that's the last thing I want to say. I'm sorry. And this is another reason I find him to be a very short-sighted person. Executive order, you can release the Fed money and the states will take it and do the program. I'm not saying you can't do that. We've seen it happen. And then the states say no.
Yep.
It happened during COVID.
Mm-hmm. They say we ain't releasing shit.
It's happening to this day. It happens in the South a lot. Some of the poorest countries in our nation are part of the reason they're poor is because they refuse to help to do the programs that fund it from the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
They'd rather their people be poor and under-resourced, you know, or they vote against it even if they decide to take it. And you think money specifically earmarked for the Black community only,
it's not gonna have some
when it comes to these programs. In a country where white people sue when Black people get any type of reparation or even if they just redress harm the way the Biden administration tried to do with the Black farmers, you think that's going to work? Everyone just going to be like, all right, cool, yeah. Only the Black community gets this money and, yeah, it'll help everybody getting a two-parent home. And white people go, yeah, that's fine. No. But part of the reason is because you going to vote Republican in your fucking state because the man you want to sit down with, Brian Kemp, the gang you want to sit down with, going to make sure niggas never see a cent of that money. Because while he might let you up in that room, he arresting the protesters and the other Black people that come up there. But it's only like, it always feel like it's just about him when it comes to this stuff. And he got to be on TV. He got to be the one talking. So it'll be good enough for him to vote Republican again or, you know, be like, don't vote Democrat or, you know, whatever reason, because he got to sit at the table. All right. Let's move on. All right. See what segment I want to do next. Oh, you know what? We haven't done this in a while. Wait, did you give it a score?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What was it, Dracarys?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just want to make sure. All right, we haven't done this in a second, but I think it's time for another light palate cleanser with some gender wars.
We're going to war. Gender war. there's a war going on outside.
Gender war.
There's a war going on outside.
Gender war.
All right. Gender wars. You know what it means, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
We score from 0 to 10. We go find different things on the internet that everybody's fighting about.
It's been happening.
And we rate them. We're not joining the fight.
Mm-mm.
Okay? We don't give a fuck what the point is.
Nope.
We just want to know, like, was it a good skit? Is it designed to go viral? Do I believe it? Is the acting good? That's what we want to talk about. Because we know the answer to the other stuff is whatever the men say, the men agree with. Whatever the woman say, the woman agree with.
Right.
We already know that. We don't care.
It's basic.
So this is a good, this is a skit that happened in a Shake Shack.
Not Shake Shack.
And it's on,
y'all see this?
And it's on TikTok somehow. Perfect filming. Now, it's interesting that the TikTok that is on is King Zay That Truth.
Oh, no.
And not the woman who seems to be recording it. Now, it could mean King Zay That Truth stole it, you know. But it's just interesting. King Zay The Truth is the account it's coming from. All
right. Y'all see this? Look at me. Y'all see how I look right now? This man that brought me on a date to Shake Shack. Like, of all places.
Bruh.
Look at him.
Bro, you
got all the
like
chains and stuff like that on your neck.
You like that girl, but
you, she might have been wrong.
Shake Shack is nothing wrong. Then you order the chicken sandwich and stuff. Like, it's nothing wrong with Shake Shack.
Now, I think one of the things, he even references the Cheesecake Factory girl, kind of. So they're aware of these other skits that are being, I'm just saying, because I'm on the path of like, is it real? Is it fake? You know, I have my suspicions, but referencing the other fake people makes me think, maybe you wanted to get in on this.
Shake Shack is a good spot. You tripping?
You really? So you could have took me nowhere else better than Shake Shack.
And Shake Shack is a good spot to go to.
I mean, this is what you got me.
Any
other
female would have loved to go to Shake Shack.
You got me two sandwiches and a drink.
So what? And it cost me $50 for just this.
This cost you $50.
$50. It cost me $50.
Well, everything costs, McDonald's costs $50 now.
Yeah, everything expensive.
Yeah, but Shake Shack is elevated McDonald's. I mean, technically, it's always costed more, you know.
Let me see the receipt.
You ain't got to see the receipt. That's how much it costs. You act like you ungrateful. That's why I don't even like going on dates and stuff like that.
I mean, you be going out spending hundreds of thousands at the club and stuff like that. I don't see why.
Now, see, this is some good, like, injection into the, because they know people going to argue.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of doesn't have a point right now. I think most people would be on his side. But then when you say you spend hundreds of thousands of dollars at the club, now I don't know this man. I've never seen him.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's famous. Maybe he's not.
Right.
He don't spend hundreds of thousands at the club, but maybe he does, and that's supposed to add to this sketch or real video. I don't know yet. Maybe it's supposed to add to it. They're like, oh, you know, that dude be out there spending money at the club, and he won't spend more than $50. But he does have a retort.
Hundreds of thousands at the club and stuff like that. I don't see why I gotta come to Shake Shack.
But the thing about it is this is lunch. You feel me? You said, let's go out for lunch. Surprise me. And I took you to Shake Shack. And this is how you act.
And that's the best surprise you could have got. Go ahead, start recording. I'm already.
He says he's going to record her back now. He pulls out his phone. And I think that's a good comeback. I spent hundreds of thousands of dollars at the club, but this is Shake Shack at noon. It's $50. That is a lot here. That's supposed to make it rain?
I'm gonna show the internet.
So he thought he did. That was quick thinking. Now I don't know how much of these are improv and how much is. I'm assuming it's 99% improv. I doubt they, you know, could handle memorizing
a script.
Yeah, but that's some good. That's a good point. Because you got to explain, like, if she was so disgusted, how did she end up ordering her food, sitting at the table, and then pulling out her phone? You see what I'm saying? Like, because you would think if you're the I'm not a Shake Shack woman, you would go, Shake Shack, I'm not, no, take me back, drop me off, or whatever. I'm getting back in my car and leaving. So that is a thing I would have thought of to be like, oh, this is not a real sketch. I mean, this is not a real thing to happen. I would be like, because look at the food on the table. They already ordered all the food. She would have just not ordered the food if she was too good for the food. They thought of that. Good job.
or what? Where you want to go? Where do you want to go?
I mean, shoot. I mean, right here in the South Side. I mean, all these fancy restaurants over here. We couldn't have got something that at least gave me some silverware.
We could have went that for dinner.
Look, okay, but check this out. Check this out, though. Hold on. Hold on. I'm about to prove a point, though. Man, pick up your fork. Pick up your fork. Let me see your fork.
That's how Shake Shack do it.
This is how Shake
Shack
really?
Do it.
Okay.
This is how Shake
Shack.
It's
right.
His finger food.
Oh, that's a good. That's a good. That's another good funny moment.
Yeah.
Might as well have been a fork.
You don't even need a fork. This is bougie. Like, yeah, right. That's bougie.
So that's the whole video, Karen. What would you rate it from 0 to 10 on the gender war scale for this content?
I would give this a. About a 5 or 6.
Okay.
And I kind of have my reasons. I enjoyed her energy. His energy was low. Like, I'm in the energy thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, her energy was kind of spot on. Her energy was like that level that you need.
Yeah.
When you start, and when he started off good, it's like he started off kind of and then he kind of, I guess, calm down his regular personality, because he sounds like he's almost like a really lay-low type of personality. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to take points away from that because of that. It was funny. I do give him, you know, credit for that. I do think as far as if you're going to do something like this, and just for my taste, if you're going to have something like this, it needs to be a faster flowing conversation. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, she say something, he say something. She say something, he say something, which they did. But if they would have sped it up a little bit more, it'd have sounded more like a true argument versus your turn, my turn, your turn, my turn,
right,
type of thing.
They never got loud. Now, they are filming this in someone else's restaurant, so maybe you don't want to get too loud and involve other people or something, right, or have someone come over and shish you. I did notice also there didn't seem to be anyone else in the video.
Mm-mm.
In the restaurant at the time,
so they went out.
Y'all see that?
And I do wonder if it's even lunch. I mean, because it's so empty.
Yeah.
And like, if it's lunch, how's a Shake Shack empty for lunch?
Did y'all go out like the end of lunch?
Yeah,
you know, right, but you know, between that right before dinner type hours.
Yeah, so you said 6?
Yeah, about a 5 or a 6.
I'm going to give it a 7. I think the subdued stuff works because they're in a restaurant and they can act like that's why we're not getting turned up. We're not yelling at each other and stuff.
I can see that.
Also, I thought they had some good little tags in there. The fork, it's lunch, I just got off my motorcycle. Those are some good little, like, things. It felt more like a real argument.
Oh, somebody said they might have went at 10:30. Cause, you know, right, like the start of lunch, you know, at 10:30. Yeah. We open up at 10 for lunch. Right.
Like, whenever we can get in here and do the skit before people, you know, we ain't going to be able to do 12 takes.
Mm-mm.
And so then the comments don't really seem to believe it. But some people fell for it.
Of course. And that's why I scored a little bit higher, because I'm like, yeah, it's going to be some people, they're going to feel a certain way. And you already have some people that kind of look down on places like this.
And it's great viral marketing for Shake Shack, because
that fruit punch and them cheesy fries look flames.
Not just that, but it also gives most of us a reason to defend Shake Shack.
Yes.
As a place that is a good place to eat. So like,
I know Chris Lambert is like, yes, that's my place. Why y'all shit don't Shake Shack?
Right. And if you were, you know, Shake Shack LLC or whatever, it's like, it's kind of like, man, that would be awesome if this was viral content they paid for. But, it's kind of like Cheesecake Factory thing. Like, if you're Cheesecake Factory, nothing is better than that woman saying no one eats at the Cheesecake Factory. It's a bad place to go. Because
you're
going to
have somebody be like, fuck that.
Not just somebody, Karen. Not just somebody. A lot of people were like, this bitch is out of her mind. I would love a man to take me to Cheesecake Factory.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you have rappers, Jay-Z and Beyonce talking about Cheesecake Factory and shit. You know, like, this... It was amazing, great viral marketing. They probably didn't even pay for it, realize what the fuck happened.
Mm-mm.
But
just had a boost in sales, was trying to figure out why.
But the next company had to be looking at that like, man, we need a video where somebody is like, this delicious Shake Shack fries with the bacon on it is I would never eat here.
I would never drink this fruit punch. A word, right. I would.
So yeah, I think you're right. I'm gonna give it a 7. I'm going a little higher than you.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, enough people believed it. I guess we'll just have to say, you know, they did it. You know,
yeah, they did the job.
All right, that was of course Gender Wars.
We're going to war. Gender war.
There's a war going on outside.
Gender war.
There's a war going on outside.
Gender war.
All right, let's wrap this up with some sword ratchetness. We'll be back tomorrow.
We will.
This man right here is in custody after...
All right. So our ratchetness take you around the globe, find different articles with people dealing with swords, and then we talk about them on the show, and we just want to let people know and spread awareness about these unregulated swords out here in the world. Today's story comes from Surprise, Arizona.
This man right here is in custody after police say he stabbed a woman at a McDonald's in Surprise yesterday morning. Police say 26-year-old Ra'ad Al-Mansouri was seen running off from the fast food restaurant near Greenway and Reams Roads. Police were able to track him down with the help of some witnesses who reported that he had stolen a nearby car. Al-Mansouri is facing charges in connection with this stabbing and a separate one in Phoenix a few days before.
Damn.
The woman at the McDonald's incident had multiple stab wounds, and she's still in the hospital right now.
Damn.
No.
Yeah, normally to get your stomach to hurt that much in McDonald's, you got to eat the food.
Wow, what a name. Surprise.
That
everybody
was a good joke,
surprised.
Everybody that heard it. Y'all tag me on Twitter. That was good. Okay, Karen, go ahead.
That was a good one.
Go ahead.
I was just going to joke about Surprise, Arizona. Everybody was surprising that bitch.
I know. She had stabbing hunger pains. But yeah, if you get in a McDonald's and a motherfucker walk in with a sword, just walk away. It's not worth it.
It is not worth it.
Trust me, that's a 6-piece you don't want.
Okay? Ain't that the truth?
All right, y'all. That's it for today's show. Thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.